What gets me about R. Kelly that he you see him on national television crying and bawling and whining, talking about trying to kill me. That's dude, you had this coming a long time ago. I mean, you know what I mean?
And the awards goes to R. Kelly. Yeah, because he was really acting off that day.
Oh yeah.
He was acting his behind off that day.
Oh yeah.
What did you think was going to happen? And the thing is that I hear people say, why didn't women come forth years ago? Why, like you were saying, Trisha, they went back and forth to Bill Cosby's hotel. Or why did it take so long to come back and forth? How my question is, how long did you think he was going to, sweep this under a rug and think that it was going to turn into something that you'd be put into the sea of forgetfulness and that everybody would forget about it and
Because
it would just
what you forget,
was going to come back and bite you sooner or later.
what you forget, Perry, is that these people have money and they believe that money can buy anything.
Yes.
Money can buy them and keep them covered. The people that they know can keep them covered. And no matter what, they're not going to get this guy. Like you're talking about House of Cards, Kevin Spacey. These people think
That
that
was
they
basically,
have
yeah, that's
money, they have clout, and they ain't got to worry about this. I mean, why does a person cheat thinking that they can't get caught? Because they think they won't get caught and nothing done in the dark is going to come to light, but they continue to do it.
Yeah.
Then the thing is that I'm saying is that when you finally get caught years down the road and it comes to light, don't come up on, on national television and bawling and crying, they're trying to destroy me.
It's called
Come
saving face.
on.
It's
It's
called
all an
saving
act.
face. They
It's
have
all
direct
an act.
plan. They're trying to save face. They're trying to, they're not going to sit there and say, "Oh yeah, I did it.
Yeah,
I was wrong." Bill Cosby, he admitted it. He said, "Yeah, I slipped them some roofies." Okay. He admitted, he said it. He came right out and said that that's what he did.
And then now see the thing is that I I have told Jeanette that I have met a lot of sisters out there. Boy, they have an enormous amount of hatred for the brothers. I mean, wow, I've seen that hatred out there, and it's dangerous. It really is. They have a vicious amount of frustration, anger, and hate for the for black men. But I can understand it now. When I hear stories like this, I can see why. I can understand it. You know what I mean? And now, what does it say in scriptures that adultery leads to violence? It always starts physically with, especially sexually. After that, the violence follows. And now you've got these guys out here killing these women's kids, shooting them, cutting them up. There was just another guy not too long ago. Like, remember when I was telling you about the what's her name? When I was telling you about with the woman and the gay guy, and that was with the guy. You said that you didn't think he was gay.
I know what you are talking about, the story. The guy had proposed to the girlfriend. She turned down the engagement, the proposal. So he took it out of the little girl. I don't know you heard about that, Trisha.
No, I
Yeah,
haven't.
he took it out of the woman's daughter, and then
Wow.
he killed her. He killed the little girl. Yeah, it's
Well,
happened
there was just another
recently.
That's a shame.
Situation recently in which the same thing happened, where the guy got turned down, so the guy took a gun and shot his the woman's daughter, her little girl. I think she was like maybe 3 or 5 years old, shot her in the head.
See, this what kills me. These women, I know nobody don't want to be single, want to be with somebody, but you got to choose right. I mean,
That's true.
because you can't, you don't, nobody don't know what anybody mind, But you have to
Correct.
be careful who you bring into, especially your kids' life. There's a lot of sickos out
But that's another,
here.
that's a whole nother topic because a lot of women these days, they choose men over their kids.
Yeah, they
That's
do.
true.
They
That's
do.
true.
That's a
They
whole
do.
nother episode right there.
Her name is Malia Davis. That's the little girl that got killed by.
Yeah, Malia Davis. Yeah, that's the little girl.
Now you just have another one just recently where the girl, little girl got shrapnel in her skull because he was turned down by the girl's mother.
Wow.
You know, I mean, come on, bro. I'm sorry. I've been rejected by women for most of my adult life. They treat me like, hey, look, I'm not good enough. You know, when I was real younger, when I was young, maybe in my early 20s, my late teens, early 20s, yeah, I met girls. Yeah, I met women. When I started going into my 30s, all that stopped. Women, I started meeting all these women that were like, if I even looked at them, they were ready to kill me. You know, and now that I'm at my age now I'm seeing all these women, professional women. I'm talking about executives. I'm talking about managers. I'm talking about doctors. I'm talking about lawyers. I'm talking about all of these women. They have no relationships. They're not involved with anybody. They don't have any kids. And these women are like in their 20s, their 30s, their 40s and beyond. And I mean, it's just they're like they're with nobody. Mm-hmm. And they are very, you know, they really want to meet somebody. It's like you saying, Jeanette, they, you know, they're tired of being alone. They want to meet somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But they have to be careful because you meet the wrong guy. And like I was telling you about my friend, Vicky, who I had talked to over the net for a long time, met, you know, a guy in Michigan, got married. And then within, you know, the guy, you know, convinced her that he was religious and that he was God-fearing and that he believed in God. And then after they got married, 3 to 6 months later, she's calling me, oh, Barry treats me so bad. Oh, you know, come on.
But I'm sorry to say, you know, when people said things like that, I mean, you got to really be careful. They bring God's name into vain and they know what kind of person you are. They could take advantage of that. I'm sorry to say. You can't just like trust anybody what they say, oh, God's this and that. I'm a
now
Christian.
You can't trust nobody, period.
Right. And especially when they say they're Christian and go by God, you know, and especially they know a little of your background because of what you tell them. You know, you got to be careful of that. It's just a hard thing to trust people in that route. And then when you give them that chance, you know, in that relationship, all of a sudden that person of God turned out to be a devil. You understand? That's scary. To me, it's scary.
The Bible back and forth. You're absolutely right, Jeanette.
Mm-hmm.
The devil knows the Bible back and forth because a lot of people forget that the devil used to be an angel in heaven himself.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people forget that.
Mm-hmm.
You know? That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And people wonder why so much stuff happens like in this entertainment world and stuff. But think about it. Like, what was the devil in charge of? The devil was like the most beautiful angel. Mm-hmm. He was in charge of like entertainment and beauty and music. Mm-hmm. And you see this music and this acting business is like, look what's going on with it. It's just going like totally crazy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people, they base their life on that. They see this, whatever they see on TV, they're like, oh, I'm gonna be like that. That's why a lot of these relationships are the way they are, because people do what they see on television.
Right.
What they see in movies, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's true.
That's why I'm glad they do have some shows. Like they have like some like this channel called Pure Flix or something like that. And they have like a couple of channels based on like Christian movies and Christian shows and stuff about being family. Because like what happened to like family values? Like people don't have family values anymore.
No, they don't. I have had to abandon my own family reunions for exactly what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I had to stop going to my own family reunions. Just, everybody was just there. Not everybody, but too many people in my family were just there to see what they can get out of each other. I was like,
yeah. Oh, yeah. Family's the worst. I'm sorry to say, family's the worst. Mm-hmm. Family could be the worst enemy. I'm sorry to say that, but it is.
It's so, oh my goodness. I mean, there are, like, one of my cousins, his name is Alvin. Alvin is a wealthy man. He's a very wealthy man. And the family looks up to him for everything. My brothers, almost, I say half of my brothers, or at least three of them, are educated men. They have, you know, degrees, they have careers. One of my older brothers, he has two college degrees. The family looks up to him. But me, they throw me under the bus.
Wow.
You know what I mean? I'm not even a footnote to them. You know what I mean?
That's crazy. Like, I understand.
You know what I mean? They treat me like I'm a nobody and a nothing.
Yeah, and the sad thing about it, family don't support you the way they said. Yeah. Okay, you know, as y'all know, I'm a script writer, and I have write episodes and screenplays. When I ask my family, you know, close family members to read a script, what they think of it, they're like, oh, I don't feel like it right now. Oh, send it to me. I'll read it later, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But yeah, when I send it to other people, I get more better support from other people than my family. And that's sad.
That's about right. You got that right.
And it's so sad. And, you know, and I have a friend now, he support me more than my own family member.
Yeah. Crazy. You got that right. You got that 110% right. It's just so sad, you know.
But I bet you I make millions.
Then they're going to read something.
Then everybody want to kiss my behind.
Doesn't it drive you nuts? Doesn't that drive you nuts?
It gets me upset.
Yeah. It makes me want to puke. Because, you know, like the family reunion we have every 4th of July. They don't let me know that it's coming up. They don't let me know when it's going to happen. But yet I know that if my brother goes there to the family reunion, they're going to ask him the same stupid question. So how's Perry? How's he doing? Why isn't he here today? You know what I mean?
Because you didn't invite me.
And yet, if I go there and I want to, you know, I tell my uncle, can I use the restroom, Uncle Paul? Because we go to my Uncle Paul's house for the 4th of July. I say, can I use the restroom? His wife would treat me with contempt. Like, what do you want in my home? What are you doing here? What do you want?
Wow.
The way she treats me. You know, when I go to my cousin's house, I have a cousin named Jeannie. Out New Jersey. If I'm going to use the bathroom, if I stay in there for 5 minutes, she'll come up and bang on the door. What's going on in there? What are you doing in there?
Wow.
This is the way they treat me. They treat me like a criminal, like I'm there to rob and steal from them or something. With absolute contempt. And yet these same people, if I go to a family reunion, the very same people come on my face. Hey, Perry, how's it going? How's everything going, man? I'm so good to see you. Man. I'll be like, I want to punch them right in the face with me. That drives me nuts when they do that. I cannot take phony people. You know what I mean? It's the phony people that I consider them very toxic to the family.
Yeah.
Yet you know without question, they're coming in your face with that fake phony nonsense. Yet you know without question they harbor nothing but contempt for you.
That's
behind
it.
Your back.
That's it. 100%.
A lot of times
it's jealousy, and that's how they transform their jealousy when they're jealous of you. When you realize like people are acting a certain way towards you, it's something about you, whether it's God showing his grace upon you or whatever, but they know because the devil knows and they're jealous of you. That's what it is. You know, some people have to put up a fake and a fraud, like, you know, oh, they're all about you, but deep inside a lot of people are harboring jealousy for other people, and it's really sad because the way I feel, I don't have nothing for anybody to be jealous of. I have a beautiful family, I have kids, I have a job that I love. Something to be jealous of, something for somebody to be jealous of? No, I don't feel that way because I feel that I'm not even at that point in my life where it's enough for me. Because there's times like it's hard. There's times that's hard. They're like nobody is perfect. I'm traveling back and forth to New York. I take at least 6 hours out of my day just to travel back and forth to go to work every day. Which is why I'm enjoying my summer so much. You know, I do because I have kids. I need a roof over my head. Mm-hmm. Would I love to hit the lottery tomorrow? Hell yeah. Yes, I would. It would make things much easier. You know, mm-hmm. but the way I see it, it's nothing for you to be jealous of. You know, because me, I believe there's somebody out there for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. you can make and find, if you can find, I can find my happiness, you can go out there and you can find your happiness just like I did.
That's right. Right.
You know?
That's right.
But it's so much, like, it's so much jealousy going on in this world. And people, sometimes that's also like a drive for people to get into relationships. They jealous mm-hmm. of other people, like you said, Perry.
Other
like,
relationships.
Oh, well, I'm mm-hmm. just trying to find me somebody right now. I don't mm-hmm. care if this is the person to be with for the rest of my life. I'm just going to find me somebody. And it goes both ways because men use women just like women use men.
That's you true.
Know? That's true.
There's very men true. Out there that want to know, that want a stable woman because they for the head. You know, I could depend on this woman. She can get me this. She can get me that. Mm-hmm. You know? So just like, you know, men sitting, I'm not saying you, Perry, but some men sit and complain about all women are like this. Men do the same exact things.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's a lot. That's a major problem with relationships these days. Like, there's no such thing as a relationship. You know, if you find one, cherish it. But a lot of people, it's just all okay, I'm just with this person for the meantime because yeah. this person is doing so and so and so for me. And you got to be careful, especially if somebody comes to you, can I borrow? Can you borrow what? No.
Right.
I have to say it because, you know, I'm not trying to be selfish, but if I have to give to somebody, I'll give to somebody. You know, but just to be like, I'm even shameful to even ask my parents for money.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. that's how I am. Like, I'm scared. So like, if I ask my parents for money, it's something that I really need.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have right. friends and people that I know have money, but would I go and ask them for it? No.
No.
Because that's mm-hmm. the type of person that I am.
Yeah. You I'm know? Like that too. I'm like that
I'm
too.
Ashamed. I'm ashamed.
Yeah, I'm mm-hmm. like that,
you know, but
too.
Somebody, but some people don't. Some people are not.
Right, right.
You know, so that's like towards that lady that asked you to borrow $400. Like, well, okay, you just asked me for money, like $400 just like that out of the blue? Come on.
But I'm saying, you know, how, you know, Mayweather flaunts all this cash and money, calls himself the money team, throwing money out to the audience. You know what I mean? Stupid things like that. But but when it comes to people like Warren Buffett, Bill Gates, Jeff Bezos, you would never, ever see them do things like that, ever.
Right, right.
You'll never see them wear, you know, gold chains, Rolex watches, gold teeth. Can you imagine them walking around looking like that? You never see them drive, you know, Bugattis, mm-hmm. and even though you never see them drive Bugattis and, you know, Ferraris, you never see them do that. They got way more money than Mayweather, but mm-hmm. they just don't seem to be as materialistic as we are. I mean, they have their wealth. Don't get me wrong. They have beautiful homes, but even Warren Buffett himself still has a modest little house in Omaha, Nebraska. You know, he drives a regular car. I think it's a Ford. That's it. Same car he's been driving for decades. But when it comes to us, as soon as we get a dollar, we go crazy.
I think it's because we feel as if we have something to prove to the world.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it's that acceptance. We want to be accepted. And we think that money is going to do it for us. Remember Leon Spinks?
Yes.
Yeah, the boxer. Yeah.
Yeah, when he defeated Muhammad Ali,
mm-hmm.
and he made like $5 million or something like that. And then within a year, that money was gone.
Wow.
But he was spending money like crazy in bars, clubs, buying money for drinks for all these ladies, giving them whatever they want. He was a toast of the town. And at that time, what was his name? Mr. T was his bodyguard.
Mm.
And Mr. T was pleading with him to stop doing this. These people don't care about you. All they care about is your money. Mm-hmm. He didn't care because he was living it up. They always do the same thing. They live it up, a lavish lifestyle, and they spend because they think that the money is going to last forever. and then they end up like Mike Tyson.
They're all washed up.
All washed up, you know, struggling to do. Now he's got a cannabis farm, you know, trying to do everything he can from acting. He's a terrible actor. to, you know, trying to, I'll never forget when he tried to start his own record label and he had some young lady over there singing, talking about talk show crap. And that bottomed out. And, you know, and he tried to get into real estate, buying properties without having any knowledge of what he was doing. He lost all of those. And this is what happens when you don't have the knowledge, you don't know what you're doing, and you basically become a court jester with your money. And then you wonder why years down the road, you're broke, you're penniless, and you're barely struggling right back to where you was years ago. And the crazy thing about Leon Spinks, after all that money he had, he never even bothered to get his teeth fixed.
Wow.
Wow. To this day, he still got that gap tooth, snaggle tooth face of his. I'm like, oh, man. Oh,
but boy. You know something, though, Fabby?
Go ahead.
According to Money Inc., it says that Mike Tyson is currently worth $3 million?
$3 million,
yes.
Well, looked like he's invested it into a cannabis farm. He bought this 20-acre cannabis farm to make cannabis or weed. Let's keep it real. What it is, weed. You know, let's see how that pans out. If, you know, depending on the knowledge that he has to be able to do that, because I don't think he has the knowledge to do it, and I don't think that's going to, like, you know, pan out either. That's just my opinion.
You're right, but to be fair, you know, a lot of us are not a product of wealth, you know?
Uh-huh.
We're kind of behind in that regard.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, when you look at the history of our people, right? We were kind of shut out of society. I mean, I know we have Black Wall Street, you know?
Right.
Rosewood. Mm-hmm. We have pockets. Right. Within the United States where people were successful.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of us are not successful like that. We look rich, right?
Well,
we have a picture-perfect presentation.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't denote wealth.
Well, first of all, when you compare today to Black Wall Street, Tulsa, Oklahoma, which was in the early 1900s. So it just came off the heels of slavery.
Right.
The mentality was totally different then.
Yes.
You didn't have the internet. You didn't have smartphones. You didn't have Facebook.
Right.
You didn't have any of those things.
Right.
They supported each other not out of desire. They did it out of necessity because they didn't have any other choice.
Right.
Those days you had Klan raids running around through the South, murdering, you know, scores of Black people. So they banded together economically because they didn't have a choice.
Right.
Because they knew that, you know, coming out of the hills of slavery, there's no, you know, they wasn't going to go back to the plantation and, you know, go back underneath the boot of the people that enslaved them. I heard that they were like paying them copper, you know, little sheets of copper coins. There wasn't even a penny. It was just little pieces of copper. They were giving them copper.
Right.
They were doing things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So Black Wall Street, this is, a lot of people don't realize Black Wall Street was a necessity. They did it out of absolute necessity to survive. That's how it ended up being the way that it was. And as always, as you know, you get, you know, certain factions, not all white people, but certain factions of white America that get so jealous of any accomplishments that
they want to take the credit.
And they want to take the credit. They want to
take
like,
the credit. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, like they want to take the credit away from them. They want to say that they're the ones that did it when they didn't.
Yes,
the fact
they
didn't
do it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. It's like KFC, the Colonel of KFC, his recipe actually came from a Black woman.
A Black man.
Right.
Oh, well, a woman. Oh, okay.
No, Black woman.
Okay, I'm
Ms.
sorry.
Uh-huh.
He took the. She was the one that had the recipe for KFC. He took it from her and never gave her any credit and turned it into this giant chicken chain that you see today. But all of it, this is what they've done to us continuously. And even like my favorite one that I always like to talk about is the world's, probably the world's most famous statue, which is the Statue of Liberty.
Right.
Mm.
That originally was a statue of a black woman.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
France.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's down in St. Martin's, I believe it is. And that, can you imagine, you know, with all of this taking down of the Confederate flag and ripping down monuments, can you imagine what the country would do, how crazy this country would become if we took down the Statue of Liberty and put the original black woman up there? They'd be like, you got it. Everybody would go bananas, man.
Oh, yeah.
They would go bananas. And this is just, you know, but getting back to the issue of love and trust, I can, you know, this just adds fuel to the fire as to why it's so difficult to trust people out there. You know, it's just, if you ain't got us paper chasing, you know, coming to you for money for the rent next month, using their kids, or, you know, as you say, Jeanette, when you were in your relationship, where he's coming to you saying, if you love me, well, then you'll do this for me. Will you do that for me?
Yeah.
Add to that, you got all these clowns ripping off our history.
But wouldn't you say that's a sign of someone who's drowning, like metaphorically speaking?
Yeah.
You know, if you saw someone, you know, drowning in the pool, right, and you jumped in after them, right, and then they tried to take you down, you couldn't hold that against them, right?
Said it again, if they tried to take me down?
No. Right. So in other words, they're drowning in the pool.
Uh-huh.
Right.
You see them struggling for dear life.
Mm.
So you jump in after them trying to save them.
Right.
And they will take you down trying to get out of the water.
Oh, I see.
They don't know what they're doing.
I get it.
Some of these people are drowning in the woes of life. They drowning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, they.
That's
a
why.
A lot of times. Uh-huh. I mean, how many of us have actually gotten hurt by the people we tried to help?
Oh.
Me.
A lot of times.
Because they were drowning.
That's the trust.
Oh.
Because you trust that person.
Oh.
And then if you put that trust there, people take that and take advantage of that, and that's what's called the backstabber.
Oh,
you know that backstabber. Oh, man, that song. You remember that song, Backstabber, by the OJ? That song is so true. And today I do
that song.
Oh my goodness, where do I begin? Let me tell you this quick story of this relationship I had. I was telling you before, her name was Gwen Wooten. When it comes to money, Gwen Wooten was crazy. Everything about her was money. And putting on these airs. This was back like in the mid 80s, early 90s, like it was mid 80s when I was involved with Gwen. And I was working down in Wall Street. I worked for a company called Depository Trust Company, and I was working for Goldman Sachs part time. And I'll never forget this woman. This woman was just, she, when it comes to money, she was out of her mind. During that time down in Wall Street, Goldman Sachs was the premier company down there, and there used to be a lot of partying going on. And that's when, I think it was after or before the Clinton administration, or just before or during the Clinton administration, Wall Street was on its upswing. It went from like 5,000, 6,000, 7,000, 8,000. It was going up, and you had everybody in down there in Wall Street was partying like it was no end in sight. You had all these clubs all around Wall Street, you know, like they would party from like Tuesday until Saturday night, and then Sunday, come back on Monday, and next thing you know, it's the same thing all over again. And there was this bar I used to go to. I used to go to this bar, and I, you know, they had a pool table in there. I would shoot some pool. And there was this brother in there, very handsome brother, he was like a manager or a director or an executive or of a shipping company down there. Gwen Wooten would tell everybody that's her brother. It was not her brother. It wasn't her brother. She would tell everybody, oh, he's my brother. It's not her brother. Because he dressed well and he was successful and he had a good job. And because he looked successful, she would tell everybody that's his brother. Then there was a time that I'll never forget. There was this guy who played for the New York Giants. His name was Tito Wooten. She used to tell me and everybody that that was her son. It's not her son. It's her son. But she run around telling everybody.
Well, she had some type of fantasy, did she?
if you were successful or in any way, or if you even looked successful, she would run around claiming, telling people that you were related to her. Why she would do that, I had no idea. But that should have rang bells with me right there. But apparently at the time, I didn't read the signs on the wall, and we stayed in relationship. I stayed in relationship with her for maybe about a year, I think it was a year or two, something like that. And I'll never forget, Gwen somehow got a job at a bank. Now, during that time, you don't have the security that you see out there today. There's security everywhere. I mean, you go into buildings, they got security guards, they got cameras all over the place. You can't get past the front desk of almost every building out there you go into, you know, without getting checked, where you're going, who you're seeing, blah, 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 the whole nine yards. They didn't have all that during that time. And before, because this was before 9/11. And so deception was a very easy thing to do. What Gwen used to do was that she used to dress to the nines. She dressed like a high profile executive at this bank that she worked. So people thought she was a high profile executive. She wasn't. She just did that to impress people and make people think that she was, you know, an educated, high profile person. But what she used to do was once a year, that was during the time when you work in the banks, we didn't have debit cards. You had checkbooks. You write out a check. Gwen used to, you know, keep an eye on who would come into the bank and deposit money. And she would keep an eye on the high profile people that did have a lot of money. So what she would do is that after they would deposit the check, she would take a check, forge their name on it, and take like $5,000 out of their account.
This is what you got caught behind that, right?
But they didn't have the checks at that time. They didn't have the security. They didn't have the cameras. They didn't have the, you know what I mean? They didn't have the checks and balances like they had today. So she got away with it for years, but she would only do it like once a year so that she wouldn't get caught. And what she would do during that time is that she would write out a check. She would go to a liquor store. And she would say, hi, I'm here for my boss. My boss wants all this liquor. She's going to have a party, and yada, yada, yada. Can you please cash this check for me? So she would give him like five grand check. She would buy like $1,000 of liquor. And he would cash the check and give her the rest of the money.
Yeah, I remember they used to do that back in the days. They go to the liquor store, cash the checks.
This is what she used to do.
Yeah.
So she did that for like maybe a year or two or three, something like that. One year that I was in a relationship with her, she got greedy. She tried to do it twice a year. One for, I think it was like $5,000, another one for it was like nearly $10,000. And she went to that same liquor store and there was this woman in front of her getting, you know, buying liquor herself. So, you know, the woman that was in front of her did her transaction and she left. Gave them in a check and she left. So Gwen came up next and said, hello, I'm here for my boss. You know, the whole spiel, yada, yada, yada. I need to buy this liquor. Could you please cash this check for me? And he said, yeah, no problem. So he took the check and he looked at the signature. He was like, something about it that was very familiar about it. He was like, wait a minute. So he picked up the check of the woman that was there before her. It was a match. She realized
all busted.
Yeah. Even though he was like, holy.
Cold busted.
See, that would breathe.
I had to check of the account of a woman that was standing in front of her on the line.
Wow. That's what greed do.
So what happened was, he said to her, okay, I got a shipment of alcohol coming in. It's going to be in about 5 minutes, 5 to 10 minutes. Please wait a minute, and when it comes in, I'll cash a check for you. She said, okay, no problem. So she waiting on the side. All of a sudden, 5-0 shows up at the door. And her eyes start bugging out like, uh-oh, what's going on here? Excuse me, is your name such and such? She said, no. She didn't know what to say. She's like, can you see some ID? And they took her ID and found out that it was, she was forging checks. They took her into custody. Took her down to the, you know, took her down to the police station. And guess like a dummy who bailed her out.
You?
Yeah.
He was like, in love. Oh,
man.
Yeah. Were you in love with her? That's what happened. You in love. Were you in love with her, Perry? That's what happened. You in love.
I'm not going to lie about it. I'm not going to lie. I was highly, I had, you know, I have very strong feeling for her because, first of all, she was a stunningly beautiful woman. She was a gorgeous woman.
The look and everything. Huh?
With your kind of talent, with your ability to think the way that you think, if you would just convert that into a positive force, what you could accomplish. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Why on earth would you do something so stupid? Knowing, I guess she thought that she was going to get away with it forever.
Wow.
It's like I say, you know, we don't make good criminals. We just don't make good criminals. You know, it's, oh boy. You know,
but there's so many there's so many relationships to say they trust you. Yeah, because I'm with you, you know, and they mind because you're making this kind of money. I'm with you. I mean, most of us like money hungry, you know, not most of us, but, you know, us are money hungry. If you have a person in a relationship that makes a lot of money, you're going to stick with that person. And then you want to try to marry that person. And then
I understand that. I understand that.
You know, but there was the trust behind it after you marry the person, you know, because I watch ID. I'll be honest with you. And I see a whole lot of programs that these husbands or wives kill each other because of money system. Okay?
Yeah. On other words,
yeah, you're right.
I don't think it's so much as the money as they make it an issue.
It's the money.
I mean, yeah, I agree. But I mean, I understand. You got to have something to bring to the table. I understand that. I understand it. But it can't be the only reason, the motivating factor. There's so much more that goes into a relationship being successful than money. You know what I mean? And if money is your only focus, if that's the only reason, like you let me ask you this, Brother Matthew. What is the one question that a person will ask you, especially women, especially sisters, that really, really turns you off?
The one thing they can ask me?
One thing that they'll ask you. I'll tell you what it is, in my opinion, but one thing that they will ask you that really turns me, that can really turn you off. This one question turns me off every time. Every time they ask me this question.
How much money I make?
Bingo.
That's what it is.
You know what I'm saying? Build no kind of rapport.
Bingo. That's the question that drives me nuts, man. As soon as you ask me that question, you're telling me immediately what's on your mind.
Exactly.
And that's why she wants a relationship with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine going out. You tell me, Jen, what do you think? You go out on a first date. You're with a person, and within less than a minute of talking with you, one of the first questions they ask you, so how much money do you make?
Well,
Yeah, I will say, I will feel, you know, like, oh, no, no, I know what this guy wants.
I will feel
very uncomfortable with him. That would turn me off.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll be like, okay, he's only interested in me of my money. I mean,
mm-hmm.
So.
Well, now you know how we feel. You know how we feel. That's exactly how we feel. Anybody ask me that question, and it's not just women. Guys have asked me this stupid question too. You know, and yeah. But the thing is that he asked me that dumb question, but I'll be like, oh man. As soon as I hear that, but if I'm going out on a date with you, and I hear that question. You'll never see me again.
that's a wrap.
I would say, well, okay. Yeah.
Definitely. I might pull the excuse me, I gotta go to the restroom stunt on you. Go to the restroom and you'll never see me from there. Clean my hands, wash my hands, and be gone out the back door. You know, I absolutely loathe that question. Oh. That, you know, it's the thing about it is that it's such an obvious question. You know what I mean? It's like slapping me upside the back of my head. That's the kind of question it is. It's, oh man, oh boy. I mean, you tell me, Brother Simmons, you tell me what has been your experience with this particular type of situation, or any others if you want to share. Like, you shared one that was great.
On the second day, right?
The scratch.
He went for the juggler on the second day.
That one is a great one. You got that one right, bro. So, please, share with us some of these other crazy experiences. You got to share with some of us. Please.
Or the other one is money for their kids.
Oh,
you know,
that's a good one.
Money for their kids.
Yeah, money for their kids.
Yeah.
Oh, for the kids. Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
That I was talking to Jeanette about that in our last podcast. How?
Yeah, because there's a lot of women look for like a daddy figure for their kids.
Right.
You know, and if you like you said, Matthew, if you have money. They would definitely put you on board because you more like a gold mine for them. You understand?
What do you call that? Sugar daddy.
I won't say a gold mine. A sugar daddy. Yeah. It depends how old the female is. And then if you have kids, huh?
You pretty much right about that gold mine. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, because that's money. I mean, if he could support her, he definitely could support her kid.
Right.
You replace the daddy. You know what I'm saying? And that caused a lot of drama because then the father of the kids will be back in the picture, and then there's a whole lot of conflict. You understand?
Yeah. And then the woman will. I'm not saying all the time, but sometimes in situations where a woman will try to, I guess, turn the children against the dad or turn them, you know,
yeah.
You know, or use the children to embarrass the father, right. You know. But getting to the kids, you're so right. Brother Simmons, I was telling Sister Jeanette last time about how down at my church, how these women would send their kids over to me, you know, say hello to me, you know, and I'll be like, hi, hello. And the next thing you know, they keep sending them over to me, and the kids kept coming over because they see that I, you know, that the kids get along with me, and that I like the children, and I like the kids. But I'm like, I'm really leery about that. I'm like, yo, chill with your kids. I don't want the kids to keep coming over to me. And you know, people in the church are looking at me. Why do kids keep going there? Those kids love him. Why do they like? They really love Mr. No.
But
and
you
next
know
thing
what?
I know, the kids are coming to me asking me for money.
But you know what, guys? It's vice versa. The guys do the same thing to the women too now these days.
True.
You have guys with kids. You know, they're not with the mother or whatever the situation happened with the kid's mother, they look for God. Like I was saying about women that's independent, that have money. They do the same thing. Yeah, so it's the same thing.
The thing that gets me about that is that parents would pull me over to the side and get my number. And then when they get my number, they're waiting until after church service, or they're waiting and they're, you know, putting in private calls, calling me and saying, asking me for money. And as soon as I say no, they take their kids away. I'm like,
it's sad.
Come on.
It's sad. You know,
you got to be a very desperate person to use your children in that way. You know what I mean? Come on. You got to be a seriously desperate person. I mean, I just think that's just so low. How can you do that to your own kids? You know, I'm like, and these days, then you wonder why you see these relationships, like I was telling Jen before, where these women are getting involved with men for the money because he got cash, and they're, you know, having their kids around him and give him all the attention he wants. And then as soon as there's a conflict and she leaves him alone with the guy, you know, he leaves her alone with her children, the girls, the little girls are getting sexually molested and raped. And
yes.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And you hear all this craziness. And then, or like in this situation I was talking about, Malia Davis, where the kid gets killed. Mm-hmm. So this is what I mean by it's a two-edged sword. It's despicable one to do that, but then at the same time you're putting your children at risk when you do stupid things like this. And I'm reading about this on Instagram, on Facebook, on YouTube all the time. And it's like, oh man, like, you gotta be kidding me. So I mean, you know, and you want to talk about why we have such difficulty, has such issues with love and trust. You gotta be kidding me. You gotta be kidding me. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on. I mean, have you had any experiences like that? I mean, I know you're married, you have a wife, you probably have your own children now. But I mean, you know, trying to use their kids and get you to pay for their kids. That's, oh boy. I don't know what to say about that. That's just terrible. That's just terrible. But so tell me, Brother Simmons, how about any relationships in the past that you may have had that had really, really like, or it doesn't even have to be a relationship with somebody. It could be something that you've experienced on jobs with people that, or, you know, coworkers or associates that have tried to con you. Like, I never forget this one guy on my job. And you know, at my age now, I've become a lot more introverted. I'm not the most sociable person in the world. And for a very good reason, because I'm tired of bumping into people out there trying, you know, take my kindness for weakness, so to speak. And, you know, if they, you know, they see me, I smile, I talk a lot, you know, or I smile, if I speak, they all of them construe that as a clarion call to come to me and start calling in favors. I detest that. Jeanette, remember what's that brother's name? Quentin Aquantel. He was supposed to be a guy that was going to act in one of our productions. Remember Quantel, got his name. Well, anyway, this brother I had met on, Backstage, which is a site for actors and actresses. And this brother, you know, he was on a conference call with us because I'm working my way towards my filmmaking career, and I want to put together my first production, and I want him to be in it. So we welcomed him, and we had a conversation, me, Jeanette, a couple of other people, and this brother. So as soon as I get off the phone, maybe not more than maybe like a few days later, this guy is texting me on my phone asking, asking me, could he have access to my internet connection for his video games?
Oh, no.
Really?
Seriously?
Wow. That's very low.
You don't know me like that. Even if you did, you're not going to get access to my internet connection for anything.
I'm still trying
to figure out how would he use my internet connection where he lives, which is a good distance from where I live, for his video games. How did that? I guess he must do it wirelessly or through my IP address on my computer. I don't know. I'm like, how do you know? But for him to think that he crawl in, he don't even know me, and I'm
not even that. He probably go in your bank account and everything else.
Probably, if he
sure.
Well, he's just gonna
help himself, you know, from your personal stuff.
But you know, it just gets to me how people
be comfortable with it. And
you know, it's how many times I've met too many people. You know, and I know that there are people in every community out there. I know that it's not just us. But it just gets me all my life how many of them I've met from our own community. There's so many of them that are like freeloaders. All they want to do is start calling in favors. They immediately, as soon as you speak to them or you talk to them after about a few, they don't even wait. They immediately start calling in favors. Can you do this for me? Can I have that? How much money do you make?
What about the ones who have an emergency every month? Like every month they need help with the rent. Like every month.
Wow.
I had a former friend. Notice I said former friend. He did this to me. And at first I helped him, you know. Mm-hmm. But I didn't pay it all, you know. If I'm paying it all, I feel like I'm not helping you.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, you know, he come with these emergencies like every month for 6-7 months. And then I look up on Facebook and guess what? He's in New Orleans taking pictures of him, you know, himself at the French Quarter having a good time.
So that's what he's doing with the money.
That's what he's doing with the money. And then right afterwards, right, he's going to call me again. I said, yo, I said, you for real? I said, didn't I just see you in New Orleans now? He said, what you talking about, man? I said, it's on Facebook, man. I said, the world can see it.
And what killed me, people put everything up on Facebook. They just tell their whole story up there.
Right. Like I say, when it comes to us as a people, when it comes to black people, we make the lousiest criminals imaginable, man.
Yes.
We are terrible, man. We don't even know how to be a good criminal. We're terrible at it. It's just like when I had watched this episode of Judge Judy.
That's my show there. I love Judge Judy.
Oh, man. Just to show you what I mean, what I'm talking about. I watched this episode of Judge Judy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll never forget that in the courtroom, there was this woman saying that this brother that she had a relationship with stole her purse and stole money out of her purse and stole stuff out of her purse. And he owed her $1,000. Do you know what this guy said immediately after she said that? He said, no, Your Honor, that's not what was in her purse.
They see nothing wrong with it though. You're right.
We are terrible. As you know, they say that the criminal element is a black community. I don't see it because all I see is idiocy. That's all I see. We do not make good criminals at all, man. We're lousy. I'm telling you. Yet these guys like Bernie Madoff or the guy that owned Country Ride can rip off people for billions of dollars and get away with it. But us, we can't even steal a pack of bubble gum from the store without getting caught because we're so you know, we're so stupid. And then you see these crimes being committed and they're broadcasting it on Facebook Live, on WorldStar, you know, like, oh man, I just want to go down there and just take my boot off and just bang it upside the back. What the heck?
Or the ones who commit a crime with a cell phone, not realizing that the cell phone has a GPS, is giving away your position.
Yeah.
And that's how a lot of them get caught.
Yeah.
I don't know how I got caught. You got to see, you had a cell phone.
He had a cell phone.
A smartphone at that.
Oh, boy. I go figure, bro. Go figure. I for the life of me, I can't figure out why we even attempt to be criminals in the community, because we're terrible at it. We are horrible at being criminals.
But you know why some do it?
Why?
Some do it for the ladies.
Oh,
they
and
think that's what it's going to take.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, trying to, you know,
trying to
impress them because they know the ladies like a thug.
But what kills me is that why you have to show your money on especially on Facebook. You have people that make some money, you know, just got paid. They put their whole check up there, whatever the amount it is. And you see a whole bunch of 20s, 50s, 100. Why do you want to do something like that on Facebook? This is how you get robbed.
That's stupid.
That's how you get robbed.
That's what you call the child's mentality. We, you know, we grew up.
No, I call that being stupid and trying to get the ladies, like Matthew said, like to get the ladies. That's what I call it, just being stupid. And then the next day you hear the guy getting robbed or got set up by the female he met online.
Yep.
And that been going on for a while now. You know, come on, you made yourself look like that. You made yourself get into that, you know. And then you wonder why? How do they know I got this? You paying on Facebook, you idiot.
You know, it's like I say. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's like I say, you know, when it comes to guys like Mayweather, you see how Mayweather is constantly flaunting Lamborghinis, Bugattis. So we've been talking now for about an hour.
Yep.
So in closing, I know you guys got things to do. I know you got things to do, Brother Simmons. But, you know, I really want to say thank you for joining us.
Well, hold on. Matthew, you still want to discuss more things or you want to close it out?
I did it first, but I think I'm good for now.
Okay.
We covered a lot.
Thank you for joining us.
I enjoyed myself.
I hope I didn't talk too much or give you.
Yeah,
give
you talked too much, Terry.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm just joking with you.
That's all good, man. It's all good.
Would it be all right if I could send you a copy of this recording, if that's okay with you?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Sure.
All right. Okay. But I just want you to know that, you know, you know, I appreciate you for coming on to our podcast. You know, I'm looking to do more than these. And we also like to invite you back in the near future. I'm going to be discussing the subject of the Buy Black movement and why I think it's inherently flawed. I think there's a lot about it that's just not being addressed, which is going to make it an extreme. That's either going to choke the life out of it, or that's going to, you know, it's going to make it an uphill battle, because I'm reading on Instagram all these people talking about buy black doesn't mean cheap or free.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you can go pay top dollar at a white owned establishment, you can pay top dollar for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I knew this was going to happen with the Bible. Like, I knew this because the one thing that, you know, as much as I hate to admit it, I don't like to admit this, but when it comes to building your business as a Black-owned business owner, I think calling yourself Black-owned is a mistake. I think it's a really dumb mistake. Do you agree with me on that, Brother Simmons?
Yes.
By saying you're Black-owned, you are really putting yourself in the crosshairs of people that everybody come running to you with their hand out, thinking you owe them. Oh, how much did you pay for that? How much did you pay for that wholesale? Well, then that's what I'm going to pay. You know, stuff like that. You know what I mean? I think it's a mistake. And I always refer to people like Oprah Winfrey.
Especially your best friend.
I'm sorry again.
Especially when you invest in the company, what they say, Black owned. If you invest in, they're like, oh, okay, Black owned. So that's part of me too, right? That's part of my share.
I mean, I always say if people like, you know, Robert Smith, Oprah Winfrey, Michael Jordan, Tyler Perry, put out there that they're Black owned and they depended on the community for that success, would they have accomplished what they would have? I would say no, no way. No way. Mm-hmm. No, I don't think it would have happened. And you don't see them out there saying they're Black owned. You don't see people like Jeff Bezos, Warren Buffett, and Bill Gates saying that their company, they are proud white-owned businesses. You don't see them say that. Mm-hmm. They don't say that stuff at all. They just get on with conducting their business. And I think it's the catering to the market, not the ethnicity, that's going to determine your success.
Right.
You know what I mean? If you go after the ethnicity, good luck. You expect a lot of rejection because they're going to reject you like crazy. But if you cater to the market, to the need, and you provide a good quality service and product, you can charge market rate prices and expect to get paid for it because people are definitely going to pay you. But when you get people coming into your establishment talking about, you know, can I get it for cheaper, or can I get it for free? Since I'm Black owned and you service and you're Black, shouldn't you give it to me for free? When you hear stuff like that, you know you're wasting your time. You know you're wasting your time. You know what I mean?
And then what a lot of people don't understand, you know, if you're just a mom and pop store, there's no way you could compete with Walmart.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah,
true.
I mean, depending on the nick, because even Walmart, as big as it is, they don't cover everything. There's certain things about Walmart that you can exploit. Right. The bigger the animal, the more the weaknesses. You know what I mean?
Right.
So you can exploit those weaknesses. But to go head to head with Walmart, well then get ready to get steamrolled. That's what's going to happen. And that's what I see about Black-owned businesses. They don't take into account, you know, the fact that they have to deal with the community thinking that, which I think is a big mistake. You know, they don't take into account with the community the rejection they're going to face from the community. Number two, they don't take into account the competition. I don't care what industry you're in. You got competition out there.
Oh yeah,
and if you don't watch yourself, they will, you know, they will bury you, man. When I hear this nonsense, oh, there's room for everybody. No, there's not room for everybody. No, there's not room for everybody. Every market has a beginning and end point. Once that market reaches full, it closes. And you know, trying to get into that market, good luck. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, they don't understand these things.
Unless you create your own market and create the need for it.
Well, the need has to be there. I've heard, well, I've read too many stories of people trying to start a business or start an enterprise or something or an endeavor for to push a product out there that nobody was interested in.
True.
You know, if you don't find out what people are interested in, and it's not about you, it's about them. It's not the other way around.
I mean, I've seen it like that. I've seen the door swing the other way. Let's look at Facebook with Mark Zuckerberg, what he did, you know, with social media.
Mark Zuckerberg did. Say that again.
I'm looking at what he accomplished with Facebook.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I can understand. Yeah.
And he started a new trend.
That's true. But really, the one who started that actually was Rupert Murdoch with MySpace.
Right.
What Zuckerberg did, he simply exploited Murdoch's weaknesses, and his Facebook just blew up and took over and blew MySpace
out of the water.
It blew them out of the water. Now MySpace is basically dust now. You can still market on it, but you know, you're not going to get the kind of following you're going to get on Facebook.
Wow, it's been a long time I've been on MySpace. I can't remember.
Yeah. And now you've got all these brothers and sisters out there trying to start up their own social networks, like what's the name of that called? Black Enough. Are you Black Enough?
Yeah.
One called Black Enough, one called Black Space, another one called, and they're trying to start up their own social, but you got years before you come anywhere near the level of Facebook. So it's like going in the front door.
Well, there's one website called FaceTime. You heard of that one? FaceTime?
I think I've heard of that one. Yeah. I think I've heard of that one. But isn't that basically a knockoff of Facebook?
I think so. I don't know. I just saw I saw it on one of them research on Google, and I click on it. It's like Facebook, but you know, I didn't sign up for it, nothing. And I was like, FaceTime.
That's like me. I looked into this. I searched and looked into this about buying this web address called U2, U and the number 2, or U-T-O-O, because it sounds like YouTube.
Mm.
And you know how much they want for that dog address, those addresses? I was like, one of them alone was like $70,000. I was like, what? Shows you how powerful, but even if I were to acquire that, to reach the level of YouTube, you got a long way to go.
Yep.
Unless you go in a different direction, like WorldStar. Now, WorldStar is very popular, but the thing that drives me nuts about WorldStar is all this ratchetry I see on there, man. It's just, it shouldn't be called WorldStar. It should just be called Ratchet.
This is the age of ratchetness.
Yeah. I mean, oh my God, the way that it exposes the truth about the behavior, our behavior in the community, and then they show other communities as well. Don't get me wrong, they show other communities as well. But the way they show the behavior of people, like, it's just, oh man, I'm on WorldStar looking at whole communities of Black people just fighting each other. You know, a bunch of Hatfields and McCoys going at it, man. You know, I'm talking about the whole neighborhood all out there fighting each other. I'm like, this is ridiculous. I actually get depressed watching it. I have to stop. It's ridiculous, bro. And this is what I see on WorldStar. You know, it's like, oh man, they get high views, no doubt about it. But if you're into that type of nonsense, you know what I mean? So it takes it found a different market, unlike YouTube, but it's just a market that caters to the very base instincts of humanity, and it's oh Lord, it's terrible. But all right, so we're gonna bring this session to a close. And again, I just want to say, Brother Simmons, thank you so much for yes, joining our podcast.
And thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
And please, we invite you to come back and join us on the next podcast, on a future podcast soon, in which we'll talk about the Buy Black movement and Black businesses and what, in my honest opinion, I think really needs to be addressed when it comes after it to be successful. Mm-hmm. And the very first thing that needs to be addressed, we need to stop calling ourselves Black owned. You don't have to do that.
Right.
Just mm-hmm. run your business, man. Just mm-hmm. and you know what I mean? And your chances of being more successful without putting yourself out there is much greater if you just concentrate on the market and building the business. You don't have to worry about and not depending on the Black community alone as your base. I think that's a dumb mistake, you know, because if your quality of your goods and services is high enough, your clients and customers are going to come from all over the world. They're not going to just come from the Black community. They're going to come from everywhere.
Right.
So with that said, I just want to say thank you so much. I really appreciate this. I'm going to edit this footage and I'm going to send you a copy and, please be aware, we have another co-host. She's going to be joining us soon. Her name is Tricia. And she's a teacher and a family, mother of four kids, I think three or four kids. And she's got a lot to tell and her stories to tell as well. So thank you again so much, ladies and gentlemen. I truly appreciate you for joining this podcast. And I want to say let me just end this with a quick little prayer, if it will be all right with you guys. Like, end it with a nice little, quick little prayer. Father God, in the name of your son, Jesus, and in the name of the Holy Spirit, I thank you, Lord, for blessing this podcast. I thank you for blessing us to come together, discuss these issues. And I ask, Lord, that you bless this podcast to grow and that you be glorified as we do so. And again, Lord, thank you for being with us and showing us the way and protecting and watching us and ordering our footsteps and everywhere that we, and everything that we do. Bless Brother Simmons and his business and his family and his business to grow. And Lord, we pray and ask us that as you've been with us in the past, you continue to be with us in the future. In the holy name, we say thank you, Lord. Amen.
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 All right. So, stay tuned. We'll be sending you an email, contacting you again, and then you know when we have our next subject that we'll be talking about, we'll be inviting you to it.
Good stuff.
All right.
Okay. All right. Take care now.
Everybody, enjoy the rest of your weekend. Looking forward to talking with you guys again.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.